You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you by our friends at Hostpapa. Hostpapa's powerful web hosting solutions and cloud-based productivity tools are perfect for small business owners, digital entrepreneurs, and freelancers like you. Go to hostpapa.com/wow today and use the exclusive promo code WOW to save 15% off their popular shared web hosting packages. That's hostpapa.com/wow.
Hey, man, do you remember Dragon Soul? Dragon Soul wasn't that bad. It was a good instance.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance, episode 454. I'm Scott Johnson here with the show. We're doing the show. And guess what? Everybody's here. The table's freaking full. Terpster in England. Hello, Bam. Terpster. What's up?
Yes. Hello. It's all good. Obviously, as part of The Instance pre-patch, it's about just bringing us all together. We've got to relearn how to do the podcast. All of my buttons are in the wrong place, and I don't really know what I'm doing anymore. It's really good.
Kind of had that problem as well. Dills, you're also here. Hi.
Yeah, I'm also here. We actually, unlike World of Warcraft, we have not pruned anything here on The Instance.
Nope.
In fact, we've added many things today.
This is a very unpruned version of the show, for sure. And, of course, Patrick, hello.
Hey, so before the show, we actually solved all of America's problems, but we weren't recording,
no one
will overhear. Sorry.
Yeah.
We sort of,
yeah.
So
yeah,
we did. You'll never hear it, but we did.
Well,
it
it's lost hard, to the but, ages, but I'm hoping a seed is planted with those live chat room people that heard us talk and that they will be the source of change.
Starts with five guys in a chat room.
That's right.
And then the world.
I had five guys for lunch today.
That
it
sounds
was
great.
Very, very Moorish.
I was going to say that sounds really good. Well, anyway, it's good to have everybody here. It's a big week, so I'm glad that we have all voices on tap. The pre-patch came out, and we're going to have a ton to say about it. I have a quick announcement to make, though, before we dive into that. And
Scott, we've got a ton to pay as well. I mean, because I had a level 97 I paid to boost up to 100 because I just couldn't be. I was I got to get into this.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? That's for real?
I was in the place. I was in the moment. Man, pre-patch has got me hyped.
I say that, but I did this. I did it to a level 94 mage.
Screw this expansion.
Yeah.
It is Warlords at the beginning was the best expansion I ever experienced, and then it was the one that burnt me out the most.
Yeah.
It was just built to play until you hated it.
Yeah.
And then flying was hey, you want flying? Well, we're going to make it such a grind you won't ever want to play after getting it.
That's right.
And it's oh, come on, Blizz. But Legion, wow, Legion.
Legion's, we'll get into all that here in a second. And I don't know, there's a lot to say. So we're going to get to all that. I want to make a quick announcement, though. This is very exciting times. People out there who follow the sports world probably know what Bleacher Report is. It's kind of it's ESPN competitor, Turner Broadcasting owns it. It's Bleacher Report, and BleacherReport.com has got everything from, international soccer, football, baseball, it's sports, it's sports coverage. They have decided to dive headlong into esports coverage, and as part of that, they're launching a new podcast, which I am a co-host on, called Rally Point, and I wanted the listeners of The Instance to know about it, because it's going to cover every facet of esports, from StarCraft to League of Legends to FPSs to CCGs to everything across the board. Tons of interviews with developers and players and pros and casters and all that stuff. Launches in August. Details up soon at bleacherreport.com/esports.
Scott,
so go check it out.
You don't have to
launches
ask.
In August. I was already starting to look for it.
Yeah, you're
it's
well.
Fine.
It's on iTunes. So if you want it on iTunes,
fine.
It's there. But it's not.
Patrick and I, as the two best EU players of all games, will come on the show and tell you some of our tips and tricks of the trade. For example, I like to use a Razer Naga MMO mouse.
Nice.
Use the code YogsCast. But no, we don't have a deal. I get so I just try it. Who knows?
Yeah.
I get so kind of excited around esports, and I now understand all these years what I was missing with sports,
yeah.
which is what I like to call them, because they shouldn't just be sports. They're sports, mm-hmm. sports. If we're esports, they're sports.
Okay.
Up until esports become sports will always be sports. So
they should be P-sports, because it's physical sports, right? P-sports.
Yeah,
P-sports.
Exactly. Okay. P-sports versus esports. That's good.
The Terpster's playing a little P-sport, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. definitely. Well, yeah. Let's not have the little bit in it, but yeah, why not?
Golden showers aside, we're very excited about this thing, and it launches soon. So just keep your eye on the prize. We're going to have a little interview with my other two co-hosts soon. It's a pretty cool gig, and I'm really grateful to Turner and Bleacher for letting me be involved. So we'll let you know more as we go. Let's get into the news. All right, you guys, pre-patch landed. Patrick and Dills and I talked about what that was at length last week. So we're not necessarily going to tell you all again what happened, but...
Those who were expecting what we actually promised last week, which was all the details about the actual expansion, Legion, that's, you know, the actual content of the expansion. Well, we're doing a political campaign spin on you and not fulfilling our promises. that will come next week. Today, we're just going to talk about the pre-patch because we can.
Yeah.
And Scott is a dirty liar.
Well, and there's a lot, and I'll take the heat for it, but there's a lot here, and I didn't want to just jump straight to, all right, patch is here. Now, let's talk about what's coming in, 3 weeks. I'd rather, like, enjoy this. Let this savor a little bit. Keep it on your tongue, you know what I'm saying? Like, let it waft up and give you a... I can't think of any other ways to say this.
Yeah, no. Now I'm on board.
Okay,
now,
good.
Let's do this.
Sounds very French, what I just described. So we got our class revamps. We got our transmog system. We did not get PvP ranking and or any of that PvP stuff that's like endgame stuff.
We got all our honor taken away.
Correct.
Turned into gold.
That did happen. How much you get?
Ashran being closed.
Dills, you're the big PvPer here. Did you end up with a big wad of cash from all your honor points?
I was always like capped out because there's nothing to spend your honor on at a certain point. So, mm-hmm. I can't remember. It was in the thousands. I don't remember what it was now.
It's not bad.
I just opened my mail
and it all opened automatically, right? So,
yeah. What'd you say, Terpster?
460 gold over here. Yeah. But the coolest thing about the pre-patch was the value of the WoW token. Mm. Over in the EU, it just shot up. Because of all the people who were kind of like hearing it and coming back and thinking, you know what? I got some gold on a character. I'm just going to buy a month and just check it out. Or I'm going to play, you know. And so, boom, through the roof. Mm. Like 92,000 gold for the token.
Wow.
It was a good time.
Yeah. What? I haven't checked here. Because I wonder if that's true here as well. That's crazy.
I don't know. Again,
20,000 before.
I know. 92,000.
Well, gold has essentially gone up in value as well because they took out all of the gold missions in your garrison.
So, exactly. Yeah. So gold is worth
harder
more.
To come by now.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the big spider that's going to cost 1 million gold, mm-hmm. In Legion. That I don't really think's that nice, but it's 1 million gold, so maybe everyone will think I'm cool. So you know, I got to get farming.
Yeah, I don't have near that much gold. I don't think I'll ever own that spider. Maybe I'll profession things up and use that side of the game more than I have in the past.
Don't worry, Scott. Just keep checking that mailbox.
Yeah, I keep looking. Someone's gonna.
Oh, I will never have. if only I had, I would say a best friend, unless they would be, gave me 1 million
gold
spider.
Full disclosure, back in the early Cata days, I want to say it was, somebody in our guild was leaving the game forever and said that he was having twins or something, and it's like, I know I have to do this, I have to cut this out of my life, or I'm gonna be a terrible father, so I'm gonna go, and here, by the way, is 150,000 gold. You can have my gold. So that's how I ended up with basically the money I have now, give or take.
Just maintained it over that period of time.
I mean, I spent what I spent, but it was, you know, a lot of garrison gold that sort of made my spending, you know, my everyday spending bills take care of themselves. Mm. So, yeah, I'm still kind of living off the charity of a guy back in the Cataclysm early days. So thanks to that guy, if he's still listening, I don't know. Anyway, the point is, you got gold for honor. That's good. But not everything's there. Like, I just heard that those doomsayer dudes are popping now in cities. Has anyone seen one or talked to one or gotten the pamphlets?
There's a tour next to the auction house.
Yeah. I got in too early and I haven't been able to get in since or look for them. I haven't actually gotten
Well, it's just, Yeah, it's just they give you a pamphlet explaining to you how the Legion is coming and Doom is upon us. And there are a number of the different pamphlets. You should really go and read them. Some of them explain to you how to bunker up and survive the invasion. Some of them want to sell you like their advertisements for things like a demon costume that are so lifelike that the demons won't know that you're not one of them and you'll be able to slip by like that. Stuff like that.
It's
the only thing from the events that's activated yet.
Yeah, and isn't there an achievement if you get them all or something? Something like that.
Yeah. There are 12 of them, and I think you need to get them all. They're given randomly, so you need to go every hour and get a new one and hope that you're going to get the 12 different ones.
Yeah, because you'll get duplications if you're not diligent, or you will get duplications, so you just got to keep going back. All right, so I don't even know where to start here. I think we start with Patrick and your druid love, because you won't shut up about druids. So will you tell us now in practice, now that you've had your hands on, you got the damn patch, we may as well start there. What do you think of your druid now?
So yeah, druid is now my main class. I'm also leveling my mage, though. We can talk about that in a minute. But my mage is now 97, and I didn't use a level 100 boost. I'm just doing it.
You're so close.
No, I'm doing it. It's fun. I'm actually, I take issue with what you were saying, Terps. I'm actually enjoying. I've been playing for 3 weeks now, every day, enjoying all of it. As I said last week, 9 months would have been death. It's way too long. Yeah. But for the last month, I think it's fine.
Yeah, that'd be a great time
for that. So the druid, it's really the thing I think that everyone has been enjoying the most out of the game is, aside from the fact that cities have lots of people in them again, which is a refreshing change, is the different classes. Obviously,
they were capping, they were phasing people, weren't they? There was a big outcry from the RP realm specifically.
People hate that.
They were like, hey, we're doing like city RP, and then everyone's disappeared. And so the current fix is to all be in a raid, so you can have at least 40 people enjoy your RP.
Well, I don't know. On my server group, there are lots of people at the auction house all the time. It's full, like the most full that the game has been ever, basically. Well, I mean, it's people from different servers, so it doesn't mean that it's necessarily the most players that there have ever been, but it looks as full as it was when it was full, and it wasn't like that before. So maybe it's the cross realm thing that's doing it, but it looks lively. So that's mission accomplished, I guess.
Yeah,
And aside from that, the druid is really fun. And what I'm really enjoying, I didn't realize that was going to be the most fun, is the fact that without the double spec, the dual spec, you can just go and try every spec. And druids have 4 of them, so obviously there's a lot to do. And you just, it opens up a whole part of the game that wasn't really open before, because you only had the 2 specs. And on top
and
of that,
talents,
the specs
though,
have
well,
changed
just to,
quite a bit.
Yeah,
yeah,
just
exactly.
To change through the talents and just be like, oh, that's rubbish. I'm just going to walk back into my garrison, click, click, click. Okay, let's try this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just so good.
It is. It's really good. Yeah. It reminds me of playing Diablo 3 in a Greater Rift, where once you've sort of specced up and gone into the Rift, you can't change anything while you're in there. You can't change your runes or abilities or anything. But when you get back out, you can again. It reminds me of that. Go out and do some questing, do some stuff, try to get an achievement. Say, this isn't really doing it for me. I don't want that Frost Fingers thing, so I'm going to go back and I'm going to switch it out and then go back into the field. That is revolutionarily awesome for this game. It feels good. It feels like I have more control over my character. It feels like I'm not making mistakes that I can't get myself out of, even though there were kind of ways the other way. It's just there were detriments or obstacles in your way the way it used to be. This just feels a lot more free, and I don't think it actually harms the game in fundamental ways at all. A lot of people are worried that that's going to make the game feel too easy or something, but I just think it's more than quality of life improvement. It's a serious fundamental game improvement in my estimation.
Well, it opens up.
I was just gonna say, I don't see how it could actually ruin anything. I mean, just all it does is it just takes away the it gives you an extra bag slot, and that's pretty much it. You have to be in a rested area to actually change your talents. So it's not like in the middle of a dungeon you can be like, no, you know what, I'm gonna do this. Like, you have to go outside. Yeah. So I don't understand why people would have any problem with it at all. It's exactly how this kind of thing should have worked in the first place.
Yeah, I had a guy yesterday say to me, they're changing so much in this game, I feel like they've, I can't remember how he said it, they've abandoned me or something. because of all the basically making me learn a new game instead of focusing on quality content. My comment to him was, or into anyone who feels that way about this, if that's really how you're feeling about it, and I am assuming he's at least tried it so that he can have an opinion about it. So assuming that that's true and that is just not doing it for you, or you are truly feeling quote unquote abandoned, I would probably not pay monthly for a game that you feel like abandoned you. I'd probably not play anymore. I'd get out.
But you know what?
Yeah, but it's still frustrating though if you feel that you've been forcibly removed. You know, albeit that you know you've decided you don't like what they've done to it. It's still sad to have something that you love kind of taken away from you.
But would the game exist for 10 plus years if it stayed static and stayed the same?
Oh, like, no, of course
playing
not.
Exactly the same game that you know, obviously people
that's
the
other side of it, right?
But yeah.
Well, my tip is to roll an alt of the same class and start one and learn your class again, have it drip fed to you. And honestly, like you'll get to level 20 in a couple of hours, and by then you've got most of the abilities, you've started playing with the talents and at least got into the idea of, I get it. Okay, so with this, I'm trying to do this. This is my little rotation mini game. Okay, cool. Then jump back on your, you know, level 100 and see how you feel from there. Because just having it drip fed makes it that much easier, I think, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I've been doing with my Druid, basically. Well, exactly. I mean, discovering the rotations and the way the class works, because every class is kind of its own mini game. You're right. It feels like you're just trying to figure out how this thing works. And initially you think you have a rough idea and you're looking into it. And then you realize, oh, that spell interacts in that way with this spell. And then if I do this, I can do that. And so that's how I maximize the efficiency of the damage or the healing. And that is super fun. And it's changed so much that you're rediscovering a lot of it. And it's true that it might be frustrating for some people, but the alternative, as Dills was saying, is to never change anything.
Right.
Like, is to, and that I don't think is appealing. Some people might like it, as we've learned from the classic server things.
Oh,
but
sure.
I think most people want new and different things every once in a while. And this, I think, this change to make people able to try every spec is super fun. And the Druid has that so for the restoration, for example, I spec resto with balance affinity, so I have a simplified version of balance druid within my resto druid, and it's not like the all of the balance mechanics, it's a little bit simpler, and it just makes it fun to alternate between healing and when I have a little bit of downtime when I'm healing to go do some damage, and it's just fun to alternate between the two. And if I don't want to, I don't have to. Mm-hmm. But it's really fun to discover that. And then I went to the actual balance druid, which I have never played because, you know, my other spec was feral. Mm-hmm. And finding out the differences between the two, it's actually pretty different. And it was super fun to try all of those. So I've tried, you know, for all of my classes, the priest, disciplined priest is super weird. Like you actually, so you heal people, and then when you heal them, it puts a buff on them that will heal them again if you do some damage to something. So it's very weird to actually play. It's very different from what we've done before. Mm. And I don't know how well it works in a real setting, but it was really interesting to discover all of this.
What you've basically described and what I love about what you've described is exactly what I'm feeling about this change, this particular change about with all these classes. And that is that I feel like there is a aspect of self-discovery in the game that hasn't been there since I first started playing it. Because when you first started playing it, there weren't a million guides online. There weren't a million websites to go search for the best specs, best builds, best rotations. It was just a sea of nothing. And you had to kind of go in and figure it out on your own and find out what you felt good about, what felt good to you, and why. This is putting us in a place where we get to do that kind of self-discovery again. Sure, I can go to Icy Veins, and I can find out the best thing to do with a Frost Mage right out of the gate with this patch, but I don't...
Oh, no, you can't. Have you read that guide?
I haven't yet. Is it bad?
You need, like, a doctorate in, like,
oh, yeah, it's pretty big.
Physics and math.
No, they have the rotation thing, which is pretty simple.
Read
the
rotation on Frost Mage.
Yeah, it's great. It's pretty bad.
Go on, go read it.
It's pretty bad.
It is immense.
It's pretty bad. But I feel like I could do that without having to do that this time, and that feels good. Otherwise, previous to this, I just felt like, all right, well, I could go and try and figure this out with this latest change or whatever, but I think I'll just count on the internet to tell me. That's not fun. That's just cookie cutter and doing it based on a template, and that's kind of lame. This is putting me in a place where I feel like I have the power.
This time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Like, it really does.
This, they change every expansion, but for some reason, this expansion, the work they've done on the class on the classes, it feels more like what you're describing than it did before. Don't you guys?
Well, I'll tell you this: we wiped on LFR like 5 times right after all the changes hit. So yeah, that feels different.
Yeah, people are trying stuff.
That felt very, very different. Nobody knew what the hell they were doing. I went in right that day. Yeah. I went in. I was like, okay, let's go. Got my new specs. Sweet, let's do this. LFR. Now hop in, and we cannot beat the first stupid Fell Reaver boss thing.
I mean,
and,
my Rhett Paladin, it doesn't feel like it's changed that much. And I kind of feel like Rhett was built in this new model already in terms of, you know, the holy power, build up, spend, combo point. Things felt like they fed naturally into other abilities. And it felt good. And they've removed something, they've trimmed it, but the core of the gameplay feels very much the same. My warrior, I've been trying out Fury with him, and it's just so much fun to just be mashing Whirlwind the whole time, no cooldown, no cost, just rushing around, tagging everything, killing everything. Everything's about cleaving.
Do you have the cleave empowers your Whirlwind type of thing too?
Yeah. So it's just, cool. It feels like playing a barbarian from Diablo, but it feels like an arch class. You know, like we always ask for like battle mages or arch druids, or, you know, like you could progress your class in a really unique different direction based on how you wanted to play. And that's actually what the different specs feel like now. You know, my prop warrior is a different class to my fury warrior. Mm-hmm. They are very different in how they play and how they feel and everything. And I think they've managed that really, really, really well across the board. It feels like a whole new experience each time I play one of my different characters.
Yeah, that's super cool. I mean, that we're all in kind of an agreement that this decision to refocus on fantasy of the character and not necessarily start fresh, but
but it's so familiar and comfy still.
Yeah.
The thing is you can and you will. You'll just sit down and play hours again. Mm-hmm. And I haven't sat down and played hours of Warcraft in a long time.
Yeah.
Since Tanan came out, and it's like Tanan just kind of killed me. I was just like, nah, I can't. It's just, it was too much of the same grind fest. The original quest experience was fun, but then just the dailies and all the rest, I was just like, nah, I just couldn't do that and juggle that with everything else.
Mm.
But now it feels fresh. It feels fun. Just in terms of just the classes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously having played the Legion beta and knowing kind of what's ahead and having the dynamic leveling across zones so that it's not the same path through every time, it just feels so right. And so many of the right pieces now have come together to make Legion. It just kind of feels like, you know, why couldn't it have been a year ago? But anyway, that's fine. You know, we'll get there, never. So it'd be interesting.
Yeah. Dills. So I want to talk a bunch about a Frost Mage love affair I had the other night, and it wasn't a one night stand. It looks like we're going to have a real relationship, me and this Frost Mage.
Uh-oh.
But before that, I fully expected to come to today's episode and go, Hunter's this, Hunter's that, man, can you believe the polearm? Wow. Weird survival Hunter, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up playing a Frost Mage almost all week. So I know you've had time with the Hunter. Do you have any, like, initial impressions of one of the most affected classes? I'd say hunters, priests, and probably rogues were the most affected. So how's the hunter feel?
And warlocks.
Oh, yeah, and warlocks too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everything across the board. Like it's the exception rather than the norm that Rhett Paladin feels similar to how it used to. Everything else feels very, very different to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hunter had some decent changes. The largest thing is that every hunter feels completely different. Every spec feels 100% different from the other two. And so with Marksman, you don't have a pet. with Beastmaster, your pet does everything. And you have no way to regenerate focus, which is super weird. Mm-hmm. So you're basically like sitting there, you're just trying to figure out other ways to do it. And then with survival, yeah, it's like that's just a whole. I can't even wrap my head around survival yet.
Are you tempted to race change to a goblin that? Just to get the mechanical you want pets? Because I'll be honest, I was up until I was like, oh, hang on, you can buy the item in Legion to have it. But I was thinking like, shit, I got to change my hunter now, because like the mechanical wolves they've added to Nomagrin and stuff like that. And they've got more in Legion. They just look so cool.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
Isn't there a mechanical bunny for the gnomes?
You can, but you know, I like to take my RP very seriously, Patrick. And I don't think a bunny, no matter how robustly made, is going to be as good as a mechanical wolf.
I don't think you have your realism in the right place. A bunny is a terrifying thing.
I put on my robe and my wizard's hat and I RP really well.
I'll say this though about hunters in general, everything has way less buttons, and that was one of the problems that I always had with hunters for the longest time. Was I had, you know, every single bar
when the game
on,
doesn't give you enough bars to do all the buttons. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And there was always something where I was like, I need this on a keybind, but I need.
You'd end up being like that Street Fighter guy who brought a keyboard. Like a musical keyboard along to it. Right. You need to have one of those to play an old school hunter.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't.
Wait until we have the PvP talents. Then you'll have enough.
That's true. They're adding some more stuff. But right there's now, I'm at the point where I'm struggling to fill my bar. Like it's great. It's perfect because now I have space to put on things like
I can mount up
slots on this bar. Like that, and then they're always on the screen. I can click, you know, my buffs and stuff. It's great.
And it's still fun. I mean, the fact that you don't have 15 additional buttons that you click once every 2 months.
Well, they're just super situational, and then you never use them, and then all of a sudden you really need it, right? But the other thing too is the rotation now for marksman. I think marksman is probably the best raid spec at the moment. Anyway, we'll see how that changes or doesn't change, but. The rotation, actually, there's just a video on YouTube. You guys can go check it out if you're actually interested. It takes away all the brain work of figuring it out. But the rotation is now built around procs and reacting and not just mindlessly going, this button goes in this order, and then I do this, and then I do this. It's actually paying attention to what's going on and paying attention to how things are working, how things are procing, and how your focus looks and all that kind of stuff, and just reacting. So everything's like kind of fluid, and that's always been my favorite thing. My favorite version of Hunter was the lock and load survival Hunter right when that came out.
Yeah.
Mm. And then it like pissed me off when it became not as good in Raid and I had to go back to Marksman. Yeah. So now Marksman feels like that. So it's pretty sweet. I'm happy.
What do you think about getting a weapon through the post? I thought that was crazy. I logged in and my Hunter was like, it was like, hey, you're going to need this. It's like, what? Hold on, what?
Happy blue pole arm.
Yeah.
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 I like went right out and immediately was able to get a pole arm to drop. So I have a decently better one at this point, but I don't know, man. I'm not sure about survival yet. I need another week or so.
I think the novelty really makes it quite fun.
It's very interesting, but
I still think
fit. So how does it work though? Cuz I never figured out how it actually works.
You know, to be honest,
you're just a melee.
I can't I would like to tell you when I actually do know, because I'm going to have to spend some more time on it. I just really wanted to make sure that I got marksman down so I could feel like I could do five mans and be doing good DPS.
Yeah.
So I'll spend probably the next week figuring out really where its place is, because right now it's I mean, it's not at the point where we're like trap dancing again. That's for sure. But it's got a similar feel. People who played Survival Hunter and stuff might remember there was this period of time where you're supposed to stand close enough.
Oh, so you had traps. Minimum. You had a minimum.
Remember this?
Yeah, I do. That was
you had to move in to drop a trap. But then that was when you actually had a melee range where you couldn't shoot.
Yeah.
So then you had to step back out to get to shooting again.
Yeah.
So it's almost got that type of feel to it to me right now. Where
interesting. So it sounds like what they've done is in a weird, they've retrofitted it so that the survival feels like old hunters, marksman feels like best time for survival, and I don't know what Beastmaster's like.
Well, Beastmaster is send my pet in and then stand there. I mean,
it's old, it's vanilla leveling. Hunter. Yeah, it's great. I mean, for me, when I played survival, it was just Mongoose Bite the whole time, really. It's just spamming that button. It's fun. It kind of, it felt good. You know, you've got your normal traps. It felt It felt like being a bad vanilla hunter. Again, I haven't played Hunter in a long time.
It doesn't feel huntery to me is the problem.
But exactly, but yeah.
It's like you're the only one with the traps, which are super huntery, so... Yeah, I'm not 100% convinced about the survival thing yet. I would like to see something totally different on all the specs, which I do enjoy, but I'm not so sure about this whole take my gun away thing.
Yeah, yeah, hunters are... I don't want just a stick. I need a shooting thing. I don't know.
I didn't mind when I had the stick and the bow. That was all right.
Yeah, you could. If they, I mean, that who knows, that stuff may change, but I think that this addresses the problem is we can't get in our heads straight this idea that survival used to be this one thing and now this totally different thing. But I think there's a huge swath of players that are very much looking forward to a melee.
At this point, just they're making everything just different, and so I'm okay with it. I'm not going to sit here and say that I need everything to be the way it was when I, you know, we're going to make WoW great again, make it go back to vanilla. Like, no, I'm not. I'm not. That's, you know, I've never been that kind of guy. I embrace change. Yeah. I think it's good. I think it's healthy for the game. I think I'm having like this to me is the funnest part of World of Warcraft forever. Has always been the figuring out of new stuff.
Yeah,
and whether that's a new fight or a new spec or a complete revamping of my class, it's fun. This is fun for me. This is like sitting there figuring things out, and I can go to Icy Veins and see, oh, here's what they think you should do, and then I can go and be like, no, I think I should do this, and then maybe I figure something out that's cool that, you know, nobody else knew about, and that's, you know, I like that. Heroes gives me that on a consistent basis, which is one of the greatest things about that game to me.
Yeah,
is sitting there figuring out how to play a different version of Illidan, right, than everyone else is doing.
Even Overwatch for me, like with these D.Va changes, she is, oh my gosh, I freaking love her now. And I'm playing her in a totally different way, and I'm doing it in ways I never played her before, and Terpster's thinking of all sorts of dirty thoughts as I say these words. But
I am now, but I wasn't. I was thinking about how much fun Ana is. I think that it's just that shift ability, just the trank. I don't think I've had that much fun in Overwatch.
Yeah. Just having somebody slide like down on their
the
back.
The first time it was like, you know, it's like Lucio and his boop.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of, when you first play those characters and you're like, oh, this is super trolly.
Yeah.
You know, it's the well-timed stuff. Less so than, you know, it's like if someone's jumping through the air and you can sleep him, it's great. If a Genji's climbing up the walls, if you trank him, he falls asleep, falls to the bottom, and then climbs up again, asleep, and then falls to the bottom. It's hilarious. Everyone should do it. But it's just the thing is like with like Ana, like she's nowhere near as strong as Widowmaker in terms of the actual direct snipe.
Yeah.
So I think
That's not what she does. She's a support.
No, exactly.
She's not
support,
a sniper.
Exactly. But that's the thing. It makes it less. I find it's more satisfying because the trank is like a boom, one hit, bam. They're down. Mm-hmm.
Even if somebody damages the sleeper, you still pulled off a pretty good stun. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's just good fun. Yeah. It just feels good.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
And
you
the
got
game,
that reaction to press a button, something happened, it was cool.
Yeah, if anything, WoW has always lacked, in my opinion, has always lacked this other than every expansion, there's a bunch of new stuff to figure out. But it's lacked it in the long haul of the game. Updates don't come where you're like, okay, totally different now. Can't wait to see what's going on here. But this feels like a chance to do that and then have it kind of stick around because the way we can very quickly change specs, no more dual specking, all three specs are available whenever I want, or four in Patrick's case. I can change my talents anytime I'm in a rest area or a city. That stuff goes so much further for me into making the game feel more dynamic, and like I want to get in there all the time and tweak around with it and mess with it.
It's almost, for most people, it's almost like they gave you a third more of the game, because that's why we play alts, because we want to find out how this class that we've all had that experience where you go against a character, against someone in PvP, and you're like, oh my god, that class is OP and they have this that they can do. So you go and roll an ult and try to find the fun in the gameplay of that class. And now with the specs that are also different, you don't just have two, you have three available to you all the time. So, you know, it's like a third of it has opened up when you didn't have it before. And that you can go to it anytime you want. You don't have any kind of restriction. So that I think is definitely the best part of the pre-patch.
The transmog system, just my bags. You would not believe how much bag space I have. I have so much bags. My bank, like void storage, that can get removed now, guys. By the way, I'm done with that. I don't need that anymore. Because Like the first, the day on the patch, I just had to log into all my characters so I could get the fabulous achievement. You know, you got.
Oh,
have...
I'm so fabulous.
Yeah, exactly.
I am as well. Yeah.
And that's the thing. So, but the thing is, the game requires you to log into your alts to get what they've managed to unlock as well. And but once you've done it, you know, you've got the Chieve, you've got this super, super easy to access interface to just pick your outfits. You know, it's like having the best dress up tool ever. It's so much fun.
I'm so sad it took so long.
Really easy.
Yeah. It just took so long for him to put it in. Like, here we are 11 years
later.
Yeah,
it kind of feels like, as with a lot of great things, like, why was it ever not this?
Yeah.
But it's yeah. I'm,
oh, like
I'm happy.
The trade skills that have double wide windows.
Oh,
now you have
exactly.
The two. Oh, like, I mean,
oh,
I had an add on
to feels
do that.
Like, but it felt like, you know, guys, like someone in the UI team, guys, I just realized a lot of people have widescreen monitors now. And they're not, people aren't playing this in 4:3. No, come on, guys. No, we can't. That's a tenet of the game. You can't change that. You can't risk us losing subscribers.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's going to unsub because we changed the trade window. It was good.
And so another thing that I'm really liking in the patch is I'm back in the auction house. I'm playing the market, people.
Whoa, geez.
I'm making money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, you're making it more expensive for the rest of us.
Of course I am. That's the goal of it. Although the market dynamics are bringing the prices down from 2 days ago, like, very rapidly. I made... So, all right, let me tell you a story
Ooh,
about
okay.
my money.
Everyone get up to Patrick. Get a Cody... what am I trying to say? Cozy up to his
cozy
feet.
Up.
Yeah, cozy up. Let's hear it.
Okay.
So I used to play the auction house a lot a while back, and I used to make good money out there, and there wasn't a lot of people doing it, and there wasn't a lot of people who had a lot of money. There were some, those who were playing the auction house, but not a huge amount. And back then, 100,000 gold was a sizable chunk. And so I had that, and when I got into Kata, I stopped playing the auction house. So I've been coasting on my 100,000 for years now. And now I was down to like 40,000 or something like that. And I thought, that won't do it. I'm going to use the opportunity for this patch with this patch to just get my money back. And I studied all of the things that would be making money and that would, you know, work in the auction house, and the Tomes of Illusions and the shirts, and bought some materials before the patch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, so when the patch arrived, I put in a lot of stuff for sale, and I made about 50,000 gold in a day or something like that, nice. Which then I felt good about myself. Right. And so I went to Twitter and I was like, oh, so how much money do you guys have? And apparently there's about 40% of the people that have well over 100,000 gold. There's like 20, the people who answered the poll, it's not obviously representative, but a quarter of the people are like the 1%. They have less than 10,000 gold. And I'm like, what are you doing? What is, how can you have less than 10,000 gold?
Yeah.
Anyway, about 40% have more than 100,000, but it seems that most of them have been doing it through garrisons, which were making a huge amount of money throughout. But how do you, like, you have like
doing garrison,
seven characters? Yeah. You have seven characters doing garrison missions every day. Like, what is this? Is this the factory?
That is the worst sounding thing you've ever said out loud on the show.
Yeah,
that sounds awful. Oh, my Lord. Like, logging into 12 characters and doing that all. Oh, my gosh. Just the mines alone. If you told me I had to do mines with two characters, I'd shoot myself. That sounds awful.
I don't think. Yeah, the mining wasn't making that much money because everyone had the, like,
no,
all
exactly.
that stuff went
yeah,
down.
My, yeah,
it's just,
you needed
it's to, doing all state. Of the gold missions and all of your alts.
Having it and making sure you had, you know, treasure finding on your followers. And
yeah,
stuff like
getting
that.
A bunch of treasure finding followers, and then you're getting double gold or triple gold and things like that. Yeah, you'd make a lot of gold pretty fast.
Even with good add-ons, though, that started to feel like one of these iOS clicker games, you know, like Clicker Billionaire or whatever these things are, where all you do is tap the screen and watch money go up. That's how it started to feel to me, and I think that's why we're never gonna, you know, garrisons are not a carry it forward thing in the game, because at the end of the day, that is kind of all it ended up being. And so I am so freaking done with that. I can't even. Just hearing you guys talk about it is making me frustrated. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, I sold a couple of Tomes of Illusions for like $20,000, and I'm happy.
All right. Oh, well, wow. I'm glad you're happy, mainly.
But you're saying that that doesn't work anymore.
Well, they're down to about, I mean, the expensive ones, the Outland ones, and the, because these the fire, oh, what's the elemental, Matt, the fire, primal fire, they are so expensive. It's like on my server, it's like almost 1,000 gold per. It's ridiculous because it's really hard to farm.
Yeah.
But so the Tome of Illusion is expensive as well. But the others have fallen to about 3,000-4,000. I expect it's going to get go back up in during the weekend and then go back down. But the Pandaria Shadow Pan Tome of Illusion, which is a little bit more rare because you have to be exalted or revered, maybe exalted. No, revered with the Shadow Pan. And that's a little bit expensive. Those are the ones that I sold for the most money. But yeah, the shirts are making a few hundred each as well. That's not going to last too long. I even made a little bit of money buying some light parchment, is it? I think, which you can buy for like 2 silver at the vendor.
Yeah.
And putting it up at the auction house for like 3 gold or something like that. And you put a bunch of stacks there.
Smart man's move.
And I like it. Made a few hundred gold. It's not a lot.
That's still, though, that's pretty good, dude. You're like Tijuana in a French man's body. Here's the other thing I noticed. What was I going to say? Something about your auction house thing. Oh, no. Let's just make this clear to people right now. Is there any reason for people to use their garrison at this point? If your goal there was mostly to make money, you may as well stop using it, right?
Well, there's no gold rewards anymore.
Then we're gold anymore, yeah. But, yeah. I mean...
Legendary quest.
Yeah, you're still getting some stuff done. Like, I'm still doing the naval missions for Apexus Crystals and things like that, but...
But the motivation's way lower, right? Like, you don't know. I mean, what's the point other than it's your home?
Yeah, they're turning it off at this. Like, they're just kind of like, okay, so you don't need to anymore.
Yeah, shutting it down.
But yeah, now you could stop now if you want to. If you're not into it, I mean, you clearly could have stopped a long time ago.
Patrick, when you asked and you did another poll about whether people were planning on playing WoW or Legion, what was the response you got there?
Again, very limited sample size, but, 20% of the people didn't even know what WoW was, so that was funny.
And they didn't know what WoW is either.
Neither of those made any sense to them or to us. Then there was, 20% of the people who said they weren't coming back. So a quarter of those who actually knew WoW, were saying they're not coming back. And then, the funny thing is 16% says I will check it out when Legion will come out, but 43% of everyone who answered, so basically half of the people who knew WoW, said they're already back. So half of the people who know what WoW is, a few of them also said, well, I never left, which is funny. It didn't even occur to me to include that in the poll. but yeah, so.
But guys, they already shipped the 10-year award. You don't need to stay subbed anymore. Don't worry about it.
Half of the people who answered are already back with 7.0. So I think a lot of people are hyped, and it's not an impression. It's not just us thinking, it looks like people are coming back. I'm pretty sure that the numbers are almost to the point that they're going to be when Legion is going to launch, almost.
All right, you did a mini guide also for leveling alts. I haven't seen this yet. Tell us about it. Is it a video?
Yeah, so... It's very simple. I just, I had one character at level 100 and others that I thought I might want to level 2. And I scoured the internet, couldn't find the information I wanted. I pieced it together from a bunch of different guides. Basically, what you want to do is go and buy and upgrade your heirloom gear. And those, for those who don't know, because they haven't played in a while, you can buy them in your capital, in Undercity or Ironforge. Just buy them for gold. It comes up to a few thousand gold because you need to buy the basic ones and then upgrade them to be effective until level 100. Mm-hmm. But if you do, it's going to make it a lot easier. It's possible to do even if you're not, it's not an ult, of course, but if it's not an ult, then maybe just play the game and don't speed through it.
Yeah.
Then you do the missions, you go adventure, you do the missions until you get your garrison quartermaster, which is pretty soon after you land in Draenor. And you can buy for a little bit of garrison resources. You buy a potion that will give you 20% extra XP. And combined with the garrison, with the heirlooms that also give extra XP, it's like 60% total, 60, 65. And then once you have all of this, you just go out in the world and focus on bonus objectives. You know, there are those zones where you you kill a number of mobs and do some certain amount of things, and it gives you a big bunch of XP at the end. If you just do those, you're probably going to be able to do like 8 levels out of, or maybe more, out of just those bonus objectives. So look for the treasures and the bonus objectives, and you'll be leveling in no time. Like 93 is an hour to get to 93.
So, but unless you're Terpster,
you're missing a really important thing.
Oh, though. What's that?
Get flying in Draenor.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, if you can
get flying in Draenor on your main, that's a couple weeks of your own. And then you.
That's a couple of weeks of farming.
You gotta rep up with a.
Yeah, but.
Guys that don't have rep.
I'm talking about how to level off here, man. You're flying in trouble.
Terpster, you.
I have it. It makes it a lot faster, but.
Yeah. I kind of like Terpsters. Not that everyone's got. You know, I don't know how Terpster does this, actually, but just doing another boost sounds really appealing after all that stuff Patrick just described.
I think it depends. You know, I'm fortunate enough to obviously have an adorable little child that demands time. And that's what that's how I offset the guilt from spending her future inheritance on digital characters. I boosted three levels
later.
And I enjoyed it. It was good. You know, the thing is, I had this alt that was sat there on the Horde side. I wanted to play with some of my friends that were on Horde, and I thought, you know what? Screw it. And I had a lower level, a rogue. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I kind of want to play this paladin. So I just boosted him. So bam.
All right. Well,
but
there's
each to their own.
There's that's Terpster's
boost on a level 20 character.
There you go. That makes sense.
Oh, I was going to boost, I think, a couple more, but I'm not convinced yet.
I just wanted to point out that was Terpster's.
Kind of, yeah, it's a real amount of money.
Terpster's short guide to power leveling your alts.
Yeah.
Pay for boost.
Money.
Honestly,
take some money out of your pocket. And then turn it into level 100 characters.
Honestly, the way it works with when you have a accelerated XP like this, and there's also a thing that you can do with the 300 XP potion, and
you get the garrison potions, carry on.
Yeah, basically you do the objectives all but one mob for all of them. And then you buy the 300 XP Elixir of Rapid Mind, which costs about 3,000 gold on the auction house. And you activate it for 15 minutes and go and finish each objective. And it skyrockets you through all of the levels. But the thing is, you get to play your class still. And you're going to be done in a few hours. And you get to play your class, have fun, discover the different specs. You know, I'm actually enjoying it. I'm not doing it as a chore. If it was, I would just boost because I have, you know, I haven't used my boost. I'm probably going to do it at some point. But actually, I still have my 90 boost.
Oh, you do?
Oh, wow. Well, that's pointless.
Yeah, I know.
Because I guess you can. I guess
you
can level
use one on
now.
The 100 and one on the 90, and then level that to 100. Yeah. Yeah. Do something with it.
Yeah. I think you should boost one to 90 and then pay to boost it
and then,
to 100.
And then boost, and then boost it to 100. Yeah. Well, if you boost it to 90, it boosts the trade skills too.
Oh, that's true. You get the 60% buff or whatever it is. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why I did that. Actually, that's the other reason I did the 94 and not like a way low level mage that I have, who's undead. I thought, man, I should just do the undead mage because I really wanted to flesh him out. And then I thought, well, I've already got this panda at 94, and I guess I'll be a panda, and I get the buff, and I don't even do trade skills, but hey, it's still a buff.
So we haven't touched on this really, Scott, but. I boosted a mage, and I played Frost, and I hated it. Ooh. So you're telling me that it's awesome.
I love the Frost mage right now.
I enjoyed the fire, but I did not enjoy the...
You're talking about current patch Frost mage or pre...
Yeah, current patch Frost
mage. Oh, I really like it.
I felt like I kept waiting for things, and I had to use a minute-long cooldown thing to open fights for it to be like effective.
Yeah,
I want to just rush through everything, and I was hoping that I was going to be able to go back to... like just dropping Blizzard on the ground and then blinking through and then dropping Blizzard again. But
yeah, the days.
Those were the heady days. No, in some ways it's much simpler. In some ways it's more complicated. But I really like this stuff they're doing. Like, I need to put down this frost aura thing on the ground that's going to amp my damage for the next however long it is.
Oh, that thing's cool. But every mage has that thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. You have that. But I like that. I like that. That's step one. Step two. Yep. Proc icy fingers and throw two shard or ice, whatever they're called, the two quick ones out there.
Ice lances.
Yeah, yes. Ice lances. And then a couple of frost bolts, wait for the flurry thing to proc. I like that because it reminds me of the old survival hunter thing. You behave based on procs and stuff, and I like mm-hmm. that. I don't know, the whole package with him, and I've got some great finishers. I've talented up, so I have two frost novas, so I'm freezing people twice. There's stacks of things that feel like heroes in a weird way. You know how sometimes a talent will say, hey, you get two grenades now, Morales, good job, or whatever. It's like that sort of thing. I don't know what it is, but it's working for me, man. Like, it's just, it's all I wanted to do. And I've hardly touched
the
hunter.
So I'm a mage too. Mm. Is the show going to become all of a sudden mage talk?
No, I'm sticking the hunter, man.
Yeah, Dills will keep it alive. It's fine. I mean, I don't even know. Like, I say all this now because I'm all excited and it's new, but who knows? I may settle into Marksman Hunter. I may go some other way. I've got a 95, what is he, Shaman that I've barely touched that I probably want to check him out. So there's a lot to 100. Do. Say what?
Yeah, boost it at 100. Yeah. Do it, Scott. 100.
Yeah,
do it.
It's what, only
60? The IRS, just tell him it's a business expense. You're like, yeah. Boom, this is my job, IRS.
Is this still $60, this process? It's the same price?
It's not cheap. Yeah.
Gosh, yeah. Dang it, that's such a ripoff, man.
If it was like $50 or $40, I don't know, but 60, got, like, it's like, that's a video game, man. That's
and if
a
it's
brand
said,
new...
like, you know, the trade skills, screw it, you just get them anyway, mate. Don't worry about it. You're not going to use them, don't worry, but you get them. Yeah.
All yeah. right.
It's as always with Blizzard, it's an awkwardly uncomfortable amount of money, but you know what? It's really quick. It's really quick.
I'm going to hang on a sec, you guys. I'm going to pause and save real quick.
That's what Matt. You said.
I'll be right back. Right. Actually, you know what? We're going to take a quick commercial break. That's what we're going to do. We'll be right back in a second, guys. Listening audience of The Instance, when was the last time you had great hosting on the internet? Think back. It's hard to do, isn't it? When was the last time you had seamless support and really good server uptime and all that stuff? It's been a while. Are you a small business owner? Has it been even longer for you? I know how that can be. Let me talk to you about HostPapa. They have complete turnkey solutions that make it easy for small businesses and owners like you, even digital entrepreneurs and freelancers, to get websites up and running and stay running. Had real challenges in the past with this sort of thing. HostPapa takes care of all of my problems and more. They literally have everything for your business needs. It includes lightning-fast servers, professional email, automated website backups, cutting-edge security, hundreds of cloud-based productivity tools. You want to make a Gul'dan fan page, and it's as simple as that? Great. You want to go a little more complicated than that? No problem. One-click WordPress installer? How easy does that sound? Drag-and-drop website builders? 24/7, 365 support. Can't beat that. They'll even give you a domain for free, and hosting accounts start as low as $3.95. I mean, if you've already got a site hosted somewhere else, they'll even help you migrate that for free. So if you're a small business owner, digital entrepreneur, or freelancer, visit hostpapa.com/, here's the important part, /wow, W-O-W, hostpapa.com/wow to check out what our friends at HostPapa have to offer for you. And because you're fans of this podcast, they're offering your listeners, or our listeners, well, maybe some of yours too, tell your friends, an exclusive 15% off new shared hosting accounts. Just enter the code WOW at checkout for 15%. That's hostpapa.com/WOW and the code WOW to get 15% off powerful, reliable, and secure web hosting for small business owners. Hostpapa.com. We're back. Sorry,
we
everybody.
Thought the dog was like being eaten by the house was on fire. Like,
no, nothing that bad.
I thought it was important, but it's just your wife.
Not that bad. She's been at a camp all week, and she suddenly just showed up and said, "I can't find wife the keys." Camp? Yeah, no, it's like a girls'
You're
camp.
You're making us wait to talk about Gul'dan, man.
Wife That's camp. Not... Hold wife on a minute. Camp. I'm just getting this idea out of my head about a wife camp. I love that idea. Yeah, Gul'dan's Harbingers.
Wife camp?
Yeah, wife camp. This one time. Gul'dan Harbinger's video came out. So this is Harbinger's series they're doing. I don't know who's next or what the deal is, but
One on Illidan. There's one on Khadgar, based just on I'm just basing that on the character art. Yeah. Holy crap balls, is it the coolest thing ever?
It's really good. It's super awesome. I mean, it's this like animatic style stuff like they did with
Then the Monkey King flew away.
Yeah, that's where they started.
It's good though.
It's really good. The art's incredible. His backstory, you know, it's a little dark. Some dark stuff happens, I suppose. He wipes out a whole village and
It's Gul'dan, man. So I grew up in a lovely village, and my mom and dad loved me very much. Yeah. And then I became.
I still killed them, though.
Yeah,
that would have been cool.
Yeah,
I took from them.
Yeah.
Everything.
There you go. I knew somebody was going to pull out the everything quote, but it was super super cool. Really well done, and I'm stoked for the rest of it, and glad they're doing these and. You know, it's a nice.
There's also an audio play. Have you heard the audio play?
No.
Oh, yeah. Is it out? No, it's not out.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I thought it was on the link. I haven't heard it, but there's one on the website.
Let me look real quick.
I'm sure it was.
World of Warcraft. Here it is.
Wait, Warcraft.com. Play free. I already have.
Yeah,
the
you
game.
Own this game. It's wanting you to play free. Here it is. Coming soon, The Tomb of Sargeras. Is that the
Sargeras. Is it not out yet?
No, it says coming
soon.
No,
it's not.
Oh, okay. It's not out then.
Yeah, here it is. There's a teaser. That's what it is.
You have already heard it.
There's a teaser.
I haven't heard it. Patrick, shush. I would never. I don't know anything.
Here. I'll play the teaser. You want to hear the teaser? Here.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, the teaser.
All right, here you go. Let's play that. I'm going to play it. Here it goes. I don't know what this is like.
Blizzard Entertainment presents The Tomb of Sargeras. What is inside? Guards? Traps? Gul'dan asked.
Your purpose.
Gul'dan paused. That wasn't an answer he had expected. What will you have me do?
You will open the way for us.
The Tomb of Sargeras. Written by Robert Brooks. Narrated by Stephen Pacey.
That's Stephen Pacey. Oh, there
man,
you go.
it's the gnome-esque voice juxtaposed.
And then Gul'dan said,
"I come to your flesh."
Gul'dan was really scared.
Stephen Pacey had to record himself saying "narrated by Stephen Pacey."
Yeah,
is that what just happened there?
Okay.
Well, that's how the audiobooks work.
I just find that odd and weird and awkward.
It sounds super awkward.
But why are they doing it?
Maybe you get into it when it's more than 30 seconds. But
when you hear an actual audiobook, though, they don't.
I don't know. Mark Terpser, what do you think? How do you think? Because it's British, I'm sure you're used to this. How do you think it would sound if, in theory, you would listen to it for more than 30 seconds? Would it, in theory,
sound really, really cool? Is what I would.
Okay.
Think.
Okay.
In theory,
I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. That's my question. Like normally in an audiobook, you don't hear.
They don't do the voices. Normally, you've got like when you listen to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You've got the narrator doing the characters' voices.
Right.
And it's great up until he's got about 8, and obviously there's a lot of characters in there. Plus, he does Jaime Lannister Welsh, which is just, you know, I don't know if he's, you know, hey, sister, oh, Cersei, what are you doing over there? You know, and it's just, it's not quite as imposing as the series.
Right.
But I like it. I think it's, my hope is that it was really cheap for Blizzard.
Yeah.
I hope that it was very affordable and thusly it does well and we get more. Because the problem with these amazing things like Harbinger is, they are just so expensive and take so much time.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Blizzard cinematic team doesn't work on these. Mm. These are done by external companies. Mm. And that cinematics team, I hope, are working on, like, I don't know, the Overwatch movie. Mm. But Blizzard has all these resources, but they use them elsewhere. And we just need more and more and more and more and more World of Warcraft related story. Mm-hmm. And this, I hope, is a really organic, elegant way for them to give us loads that's super, super cool.
Yeah.
But I don't.
I agree. It's really good. People should watch it. It's good. It's called The Harbinger's Gul'dan, The Story of Gul'dan, or whatever. And he's pretty rough in there. And also doesn't eat a lot because he's real skinny. Get a sandwich. All right. Let's talk about the goodie bag
real
quick.
He eats life.
Yeah, he eats life.
That's right. he got a Legion sandwich. Yeah. And, you know, that will keep you going for a while.
Yeah. What did you call
my favorite scenes from the movie, by the way, is him having a cocktail, which is essentially a human.
It was you. It was
so.
Yeah. Oh, these are good. Can I have an? What do you call these? Yeah. A white Russian?
He's literally like he like sips it, and then at the end he just like chugs the last little bit. You know,
it's like, you see him doing shots. It's brutal.
Yeah, you don't want to go too fast.
So well, Dan does that. No, it's basic.
Yeah, that's true.
The gnomes are the shots.
The gnomes are like the the lemon to his tequila sort of thing. Just
yeah.
You know,
yeah, he takes a shot, then he does a gnome, then he does a human again. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
and when he has a full sushi plate, then, you know, he's got things going.
Now people who've been putting off seeing the movie are now really interested in what the heck we're talking about. So
yeah,
go watch it.
New, is it still in American cinemas? I would have thought after how well it did.
No, it's gone.
At this point,
it's not here.
You got to get on that black market to watch the movie right now.
Yeah. Or just wait a bit and it'll come out on DVD.
Yeah, you're getting DVDs and Blu-rays.
Sure, that too.
That got announced.
Go to www.notbittorrent.com and buy the movie.
Goodie bag for BlizzCon has been revealed. The BlizzCon Stein StarCraft, a bobble zergling Diablo. What? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm reading this wrong. It's a BlizzCon Stein. For StarCraft, you're getting a bobble zergling. For Diablo, you're getting a bag and a set of Diablo-themed dice. That's kind of cool. Actually, I really want that.
I like
how Scott's just kind of reading it and going like, I must note to self, buy that one.
That seems all right. We're all getting one if we go. ETC keychain. That's for heroes, I assume, right? Maybe. Anyway, maybe that's just on its own. World of Warcraft, you're getting Alliance and Horde reversible coasters. For Hearthstone, a cleaning cloth. So there you go, Hearthstone fans.
Cleaning cloth. You need it for you because you're always on the mobile tablet device playing the Hearthstone.
Yeah.
And it's getting covered in fingerprints from all of your aggressive plays.
Yeah.
So you need to wipe those off. And also, I like it because it's quite an absorbent cloth, so it absorbs the tears of me after I get beaten again and again and again and again and again by some cancerous aggro deck. But you know, it's really good though.
Keep it handy. For Overwatch, you get a blow up hammer, which sounds weirdly pervy.
It's Reinhardt's hammer,
Look great. Yeah, of course. It would be cool if you know some people got Reinhardt's hammer and some people got Torbjorn's little upgrade.
Just the little one. That would probably blow up better, actually.
It would. Yeah. It's a little more bulbous as it is. It's not meant to be a big scary hammer. Anyway, it looks like a good bag. They didn't talk about whether or not we get new messenger bags with this or not. Probably not. Is my thinking.
I don't think so because they haven't said it. Whereas last time they did, they were like, "Yeah, check out this sweet thing."
They made a big deal out of it.
This is part.
It's not the best. It's not the best.
It's okay. There's nothing here that's blowing my mind. It's fine.
The dice maybe.
Here's what they need to do.
I wonder if it's the same model of Stein as the one we get for the 2 years at Blizzard.
Oh, maybe.
I'm not sure.
So. Those are like a bit super more expensive. Yeah, I expect this won't be because those are ceramic and they got. I mean, the 2 year ones have a leather strap around them, but I've got that, and I've got the Arthas Lich King one, which isn't quite as high end, but still, I mean, I think they're about $150. Yeah. So I can't see them doing it, even with the bulk you get from a BlizzCon.
So here's something I think they should do, and I don't know why they've never done it. The other games have, or a lot of the other games have this. There's Warcraft themed, Starcraft themed, and a Diablo themed poker sets, and the card decks that come with those. Are really nice, awesome artwork, really ornate design, really cool. Like in each case, really, really nice sets of cards. I have all three of those. I would love it if they would make a Hearthstone themed deck of cards. It's just a standard 52 card deck of cards, not like it's some Hearthstone game, but have the card back be the Hearthstone traditional card back, have the box be something that's designed a bit like the Hearthstone box. And then make the art on the face cards and stuff super cool. Like, I don't know why that is not a thing.
The problem with the Hearthstone card is that they physically can't work because the front is different to the back. So they always look weird when people try and make them in real life because, you know, for example, when you look at the portrait, it sticks out over the top. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it from behind, it's a rectangle. Mm-hmm. So
I totally get that, but I'm not
sure
saying
they could figure it out.
They
don't need to do that.
Smart people than me.
And I'm just saying make a deck of cards. It doesn't need to be, you don't have to go crazy. You've got so much artwork. You could just really fancy those things up. I don't know if anyone's seen these other poker sets, but they're beautiful and they show off this art in such cool ways. If there's anything I know for sure about Hearthstone, it's filled with rad art. So just an artful 52 deck set of cards and I'm good.
I'd be into that.
Yeah.
They do actually have, I think they're going to start offering a Hearthstone box pretty soon.
Mm. Oh, really? Wow. Mm. Yeah, definitely buy one of those.
Blizzard store at BlizzCon, we might see them.
Ooh.
Because I go fast as hell.
Will they be wood? Yeah. They'll be wood, right? Made out of wood.
A lot of people have machined their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I've got one that a guy made as his like final university project. He did like a Pandarian themed one, and it's stunning. It's brilliant.
And Bill Duran just finished one he did in resin. It's utterly gorgeous. Wow. So nice.
Have I ever said how much I like Bill Duran?
Yeah,
does Bill listen to this podcast?
Yeah, he does.
Probably not.
He does.
I don't matter.
He does.
Don't
That's where we met.
Oh, he does. Oh, yeah. Bill.
Yeah,
he's such a nice guy.
He'll hook you up.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And the thing is I would say mate's rates is all I'd say in terms of, you know, I'd pay for it, but, you know, not as much as he would want.
Mate's
because of all the money you have to put aside for your child's inheritance.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, my child. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Not my boosts. But I am looking at, you know, this shaman thinking it could be a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to see.
Also, get your hands on the World of Warcraft Chronicles Volume 2 book. It's on Amazon for, I guess, pre-order. I don't think you can actually get
it. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not out yet.
It's shipping. Not out. Yeah, but that first one's great.
What exactly is the first one? I sort of missed it. What is it?
It is everything from ancient old gods up to when's it end, Dills? It's like I have mine here too somewhere.
No, but it's for the ancients, isn't it?
Yes. Right?
Yeah, it's right, the war is the it?
Is it a book? Is it illustration?
It's a giant book. It's like if you got like a big Dungeons and Dragons player's guide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's like awesome. But it like describes everything and like what it is. So it's like, hey, so did you ever wonder what the Void Lords were? Mm-hmm. Well, here's what they are. And you got some sweet illustrations and you kind of go through, Ian talks about Titans and the demons and how the whole dang thing got started.
It's all like the primordial stuff, like Azeroth's beginnings, and then this Volume 2 starts, and I think it's supposed to cover up till Arthas.
So you got, at the very end, you're looking at Karazhan, the Last Guardian stuff.
Yeah.
That's the so Egwene, before kind of Warcraft 1 era.
Yeah.
Aladai.
Yeah. All that weird stuff. And then
Glenn Close, then
you get all the war stuff. You get Legion, you get Portal, you get all that. You get to Arthas, and then Volume 3, I presume, will carry on from there. It's really nice stuff, though. Absolutely a collectible
beautiful
thing.
Book.
Yeah. It's super nice. I asked Metzen once about it. Metzen's words to me, I'm only the most proud of two things this year. I said, what? He says, Overwatch and that book. And that says something, I think, from the guy who, you know, is chiefly responsible for most of those words.
So everything else Blizzard did sucked for
well, no, he's just really proud. He seemed really proud.
He hates Blizzard. That's what you're saying. He hates Blizzard.
Yeah, he hates Blizzard. He's not a fan.
Can't believe that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's not. Oh, there it is. Sorry.
What happens, man?
I didn't see Bill's camera. Oh, yeah, look at that. See? Yeah.
So here's the very end is like, yeah, Karazhan.
Yep. There it is.
By
the way, Karazhan. Maybe the next,
That is the theory, isn't it, for the old adventure? There's a afterword on the back from Metzen, and it says everything else Blizzard did was shit except this book. and I thought that was really refreshing. I thought, good on you, Chris.
Yeah, I just said the two things he was most proud of in 2015. That's all he said.
Yeah,
that
we know.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. So I'm just trying to think of other kind of personal triumphs and stuff that. Just kind of, that's fair enough.
He's having a baby.
I still find myself reading Warcraft books that much.
Yeah.
You know, some of them are very, you know, better than others, obviously.
Right.
But this thing, I sat down and I just read through the whole damn thing, basically.
Yeah, it's worth pouring over.
And there was never a moment like where I was just like, oh yeah, enough about the damn demons. Like it was, you know, it was good the whole way through.
Yeah.
So it's basically the compendium. Like if you want to know the story of the world of Warcraft, that's what you want.
Yeah, it's
the canon.
Literally the canon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good way to put it.
This is the version of the lore that is in the game and will be in the game for the foreseeable future, up until obviously, you know, they think, guys, should we give the Horde the same as the Alliance as well? Yeah, let's do that. I think it is a really good book just in terms of a primer. Just if you're going to read one thing now, like we used to tell people, go read Arthas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great book. This isn't as narrative driven in the same way as Arthas is, but is super fun and strong to read through.
Yeah, it's really good. It just feels like I don't know, a permanent thing to put on your shelf. We have so much crap we get from loot boxes and a million other things these days. It's nice to have a thing that I feel like is worth having a physical version
of. So have you got the huge Blizzard art book? They did like a coffee table book, like I think it was a year ago, maybe.
Yeah,
two
I do
years
have that
ago.
One somewhere.
Super, super massively thick and chunky. Like when it came through the post from Amazon, I thought like, oh, did I order two? And you open it up and you're like, oh no, it's just huge. Mm. Blizzard really do this sort of thing well.
Yeah. It shows how much they value it, and they don't need to make this. It's not like this is going to help the popularity of the game, I don't think, this expensive 3-tome volumed thing.
No, I mean, they make money on it, and it's a great way of monetizing their loyal core.
Yeah.
But it is just at the same time just really, it feels, you know, I like being exploited in this way.
Yeah.
If Blizzard's going to get money off me, I'd much rather it was through this than just sitting on expansions until I, you know, really can't bear playing any more garrisons.
Right. Yeah,
not that they do, obviously, but you know.
I agree. All right, real quick, Overwatch. We talked about Ana before. A lot of people aren't happy about her because she's messing up quick matches in Overwatch.
yeah, if you want to play on a team filled with her, it's great.
Yeah, like I mean, I, you know, grabbed her and messed with her a bit in practice and stuff because I knew I could kind of just go do that and really liked what I saw. So I thought, all right, let's give this a shot. Got into a game. Everybody's fighting over to be here. And it's interesting because the same thing happens to Heroes. The difference is in Heroes, you lock into a team. You can't have duplicates on the same team. So once somebody chooses her, you're screwed. In a Heroes thing. Plus, you can't change out during the match. So you just have the match and one of you is Medivh because he's the hot new thing, or one of you is Gul'dan because he's the hot new thing. But in this game...
Oh, Dan is so good.
No, he's really great in Heroes. But also just, you know, the idea of her being so prominent and dominant, I am now convinced the reason Blizzard released this patch with also an update to competitive that made it so you could not have duplicates of characters on a team was because they needed a way to deal with having a new character introduced and not having the entire ecosystem
flow. No, of course
not.
This was in reaction.
What are you talking about?
Well,
This is because the reason for the no stacking Heroes is because it was harming the high level play. That's the only reason.
I don't think that's the only reason. I think you could say that's part of it, and I'll agree with you. But there's no way this isn't a part of it because the idea of them. Well, it's the same problem. No, you just have people stack a bunch of Anas.
The problem was is it was things like Winston had his shields nerfed back in the day because if you had more than a couple Winstons, you could chain the shields up and just no one got through them.
Yeah.
And it makes sense from a competitive standpoint. Before, they were always like, you know what? We just want it to be fun. So if it's fun to play with, like, you know, 5 Bastions and a Mercy, great, go for it. Mm-hmm. But
it's fun
with competitive play.
Yeah.
Exactly. With competitive play, they're like, no, for us to actually be able to have some authority behind us when we balance these characters, we need to have some constraints to how they can interact. And I think that's literally, it's just a inevitability of going down the esports route, which they never said they were going to do. They just kind of were like, we'll see what it is.
I mean, so the thing is, it was pretty certain that they were going to try and go down the esports route, but they were really hoping that they could find a way to make the multiple of one character work and for it not to affect the game in a super negative way. Mm-hmm. And now we've had a few months, we've tried it, and we've seen what happens when they do it, and clearly it's not working as well as they hoped. I honestly think that this is they've said so, and it's the consensus on the competitive scene, the esports pros and all of that are agreeing that it's just not as fun when you can have, and it's not just the Winstons coming into the thing. It's you have 3 tracers, they show up on the point and they prevent you from actually winning the thing, from capping it by just zipping in and out and never actually allowing you to same with D.Va. And it was just not abusing the game mechanics, but it was making it not fun. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's honestly, this is 99.99% of the reason why.
I think
too.
But what's
really
funny
is to do with that.
Well, what's funny is we actually agree.
More characters like that. Right?
Yeah, that's my whole point. Is we actually agree with each other? I think, Patrick, because introducing a new character is going to exacerbate that problem that was already a problem. So I'm just saying.
But they could ban it from pro play. They could ban it from the ranked play, and that would solve the problem for a couple of weeks.
Well, no, I understand that, but I totally get what you mean. That would soften the blow, sure. But I think this, it's two birds with one stone. I mean, I totally agree with you. I'm just saying that it also so happens that with Ana coming out, you kind of eliminated that as a problem for pro play, and it would have been one.
But no, it does. Like the stacking thing, it limits design space when you're making a new hero. You're thinking about the cool thing you could give them, and you're like, well, wait a minute. What if there's five of them? And then you're like, no, that would be broken. Can't do it.
Yeah.
So get rid of that now, and then you can do whatever the hell you want. You can make all these awesome cool characters.
More design space.
Yeah.
It's good.
I played six Korean. Well, I say they were Korean. They all had Korean names, so I assume they were a Korean team. But I played six Junkrats the other night that were the most coordinated group of trolls I've ever seen in my freaking life. And it was really hard to lose to that.
That's kind of RPing Junkrat as well. I like that. That's cool.
A little bit. Yeah, he's kind of a troll, isn't he? A little trolly. The way he hangs over and stuff.
What were they saying?
They weren't saying anything. They were just destroying us with five Junkrats in a way that made it... I mean, we just never found an answer. And we were a decent team. Like, we had good players on our team. We never found a good answer for six coordinated Junkrats that would hide in the weirdest places. They'd be in every nook and cranny. Every time you come around a corner, there'd be two up on top raining hell down on you. Tires popping all the time. Like, it was just, it was ungodly. Like, it was kind of fun to watch it play out, but we got so burned on that. And I hated it. I kind of hated it at the end. So, at the end of it all, I guess all I'm saying is I'm glad this is a feature in competitive that is good for the health of the game. And I kind of wish there was like a, I don't know, like an equivalent to the unranked in Heroes where you could, I don't know, I wish quick, and part of me wishes Quick Match would do this too, but part of me doesn't. Like, sometimes it's fun to have a couple of the same character or to have some weird meta crop up or a couple of Torbjorns are real tough on a certain map or something. And I don't want to limit that for players. I'm guessing this is a real point of not contention, but a point of interest at Blizzard on that team as to, you know, how to handle that. But in the case of competitive, they've handled it. You can only be one of any kind. Doesn't mean you can't switch. Yeah, and it doesn't mean you can't switch. You can switch. I can go from Winston to whoever in mid-game, but I just can't be anything anyone else is at that current moment. So, anyway, for those who didn't
I really know. Think, though, they're going to need more heroes pretty quick.
Yeah.
The world always needs heroes.
Well, Patrick, there's a hint. Yeah, what's going on there, actually, Patrick?
There's another
Sombra.
One.
Yeah, good news. Another thing. The Ana comic is out, if you haven't checked it out.
There's
it's two. Pretty cool.
Are there two?
There's two?
Yeah, so there's the one they had before where she goes through a backstory. And then
you're right.
And then there's the one that's just come out now, which is up to date, where she kind of joins the team again, I guess.
Mm. Mm. Old
She's
soldiers.
Back. Yeah.
And you see a bunch of stuff there. She I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it. But it's pretty cool. And then they have been dropping lots and lots of hints about the next character, which before Ana came out, people assumed that it was going to be Sombra, who was the support sniper, and that they were the same character. But turns out Ana is the support sniper and Sombra is something else. And there are a number of hints. We don't really know exactly for sure what or who she is. And
she's a hacker, isn't she?
She is probably a hacker of some kind. She is probably, story-wise, she might be, some people are suggesting Alan. She might be Alejandra from the Hero short, you know, the little girl that goes to get some food and gets harassed by the evil bikers.
She gets inspired. She gets inspired by her hero there, yeah. I like
that.
Yeah,
and so some people are suggesting that this might have happened in the past, because in every short we have two heroes showcased, and in this one we only have Soldier 76, so they're saying it might have been Alejandra, who was 10 years ago, and now she's actually turned into Sombra.
She's like Robin in Dark Knight Returns, like that, and she's she's a little girl, and we shoot a little girl in the game. I think Blizzard's edgy like that. I think they'll let us do it.
Well, isn't May?
Yeah, I can see the letters already saying like, "Oh, how come you're killing little girls?" It's like it's a game.
How old is May? How old is May? Is she supposed to be
really old? She's in status.
No, she's 20 something.
Is she?
And she was also she was frozen for decades in I don't know.
But Diva's a little girl.
She's like 18, I think.
She's like 16, she's, I think, right? She's like in her
teens.
I don't know. Someone check it out.
She's barely legal, is what you're saying, Patrick.
I didn't want to say that. There are also suggestions that Alejandra might be Reyes's daughter, Reaper, before he turned into Reaper. Anyway, so all of this is super interesting, but the most important thing is that she is probably a stealth-based hero, because we've heard a lot of strings data mined, and Sombra means shadow, and we've had strings from the patch that basically were voices of the other heroes saying, I know you're here, but I can't see you. I can't see you, but I know you're here, and like, there's someone here, guys, or stuff like that.
Yeah.
And everyone is sort of panicking because stealth is one of the most reviled mechanics in all gaming, especially people who know heroes.
Especially shooters, by the way. I want to point that out. It's shooters mainly where people have trouble with stealth. Like, stealth as a mechanic
works
in lots and lots of game cases, and you can make a lot of arguments for it.
Because you've got a spy, and the problem with the spy is he can pretend to be other characters, and that means you spend a good portion of time shooting your teammates like, hang on, are you okay? This guy's legit, but he does have a limited stealth as well, and then sneaks up and backstabs you, and it feels like, why didn't I should have had my back to a wall or something like that. It makes you play differently.
Like Nova in Heroes, you nothing's happening and all of a sudden boom you're dead. It's frustrating. I'm guessing that in this game they're going to do it a little bit differently. Probably she's not going to be a huge DPS character. She's not going to be able to, you know, come out of stealth and one shot you and that's it. Maybe she's not going to be able to do anything for a while after she's come out of stealth, or maybe there's a beacon that I don't know. But stealth.
I do know this. They have somehow made a sniper who shoots you with darts that give you health fun. And I would have said on paper that sounds stupid, but it totally works. Ana is a blast to play in almost every way. And that shocked me. So I have full faith in that team's ability to give me something weird and have me like it.
I thought it was cool up until I read the comic. And, I don't want to spoil it, but I'm going to spoil it a little bit. In that Soldier basically gets shot with a dart and is like, oh, my God, why do I feel so good? And it's like, oh, man, don't be like.
Did they really do that?
Yeah, he's all like, it doesn't hurt anymore. And it's like, okay.
That's terrible. Yeah. You guys, they don't have to put literal game mechanics in these comics. Oh, and they signed a deal with Dark Horse to do like full graphic novel treatment.
Yeah, the graphic novel. Yeah. That's next year. Can't wait for that.
Looking forward to that. That'll be good. All right. Well, there's your Overwatch date or update. And very excited. All that stuff happening in Overwatch and WoW right now. Man, out of those two games, exciting things this week. Heroes is doing great. Not much to report there, although to catch Dills on Stormcast or me on the Core show, you'll hear big details about how things are going with Gul'dan over there and some of the pro play stuff coming up and all that. BlizzCon's a lot closer than I'd like to admit. I feel like it's coming real fast.
It's coming up, yeah. And there's Gamescom before that.
Yeah, when is that? Is that August? August.
August 17th.
Either of you going?
Yep, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there in a semi-official capacity. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Oh, semi-official. Yeah, I've always said Terps are sporting a semi. So
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this time I'm fully aroused. Sure. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, I was hoping that Dills would laugh at my semi comment. I don't know why I was hoping that.
He's done. He's not that childish anymore, Scott.
Oh, okay. I got to mature up.
I'm past that. I'm beyond that.
I got to mature up. All right. Here's a quick phone call before we get out of here.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
Time for Town Crier. You guys send your voicemails into us at 801-471-0462, or you can email us, theinstance@gmail.com. This call comes from a listener. It's all about upvoting and how it might help heroes.
Hey, guys. Calling in for The Instance. I was just listening to the last episode with Scott, Dills, and Patrick. You guys were talking about trying to figure out a way to lose less points in Heroes and Hero League for players who were doing well, or if they did something well in the game, and it was if it could be figured out. I was thinking, what if they introduced the upvote system, the commendation system from Overwatch? So you give someone an upvote at the end of the game if they did something good, and anybody with, you know, two or more votes, say, loses 100 points or 50 points instead of 200 points. Couldn't vote for yourself, or you could just choose not to vote at all. Let me know what you guys think. Thanks.
See ya. So the one in Overwatch has no consequences right now. It's just really a pat on the back if you get a bunch of votes. It would be nice if it translated into something. Like if you got, you know, all your votes, you could.
I thought if I got a legendary or something like that, I'd get achieve. I don't think you even get that, do you?
No, you don't get anything.
No, nothing.
Yeah, you get nothing. It'd be nice if maybe you got an extra 50 XP or something dumb. But you know that wouldn't be that big of a deal in the long run. But right as it stands right now, they don't. But in Heroes, having that go toward something seems. I don't know. I'm. MOBAs have this reputation of the only way to deal with people is punishing them. I wouldn't mind seeing a more positive way of rewarding good behavior. Because sometimes last night I had a great game with some people that were total randos. I was worried about it first because it was a strange comp. And those guys kicked butt. And I wish there was more I could do than just say, hey, good job or whatever. Positive reinforcement. It's not a bad idea.
I think it is. It's a good idea because it feels better to talk about how someone was good. And right now, the only thing you can really do is you can whisper them and then add them to your friends list.
Yeah.
But something in the game, because also if the game is giving you these strikes because some other guy was a jerk and you reported him and then he says, well, I'm going to report you then or something like that, then, you know, having a certain amount of like positive marks on your record would mean that Blizzard would be able to like quickly at a glance say, oh, this guy. OK. So this guy got trolled one time and, you know, this guy's got nothing but negative marks. Then, OK, we understand this guy's probably a problem.
It's a good point. It's another metric, isn't it?
Like it's a way to kind of like weigh it back in the other direction. Right.
Yeah,
because I know for sure I've been reported because, you know, you get into it a little bit with some guy who's being a jerk and then he just reports you. Right. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, at the very least, a different metric for them to base some of their judgments on is never a bad thing, but also it just gives you an opportunity to throw somebody throw them an egg once in a while and say, hey, good job, way to go. I don't think throwing them an egg is a phrase, but I made it up just now, so take it for what it is. Patrick,
in general, I think the issue with these systems is whether or not they can be abused or whether or not they're creating tensions in the teams and between the players. It doesn't seem like this would do that. It doesn't seem like it could be abused. I could kind of see how it would make people angry a little bit if you feel like you deserve to get the little commendation and you don't, and some other idiot that you felt didn't play well at all got it, then maybe it would make you sour a little bit. But
this happens happens with no reward at all. People bitch about
imagine how much worse it would
like
be.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
And like, dude, who cares? Why do you care?
By the way, my least favorite.
Imagine how bad it would be if it actually gave you, you know, your the most important thing, the ranking points, if it could affect that. Yeah, I think it would be.
I think my least favorite thing about the way Overwatch does that. Does play the game. I just was thinking about this the other day. I got to play the game as Mercy. And in retrospect, the play of the game wasn't that great. It was like, I think I killed someone with a pistol and then rezzed two people. It wasn't a big deal. And somebody on the other team says, hey, nice play of the game. I said, oh, thanks. I wrote back. He's on the other team. He goes, in all caps, I was kidding. That was the stupidest play of the game I've ever seen. And all of them start just piling on me about how dumb this play of the game was. And my thing
is,
I don't pick them. The game picks it. It's like, what are you supposed to do? Not do things to get by? Like, it's impossible for me to know when the game's going to choose whoever it's going to be. Like, how many times have you guys played and had an amazing play, and you're just like, I am sure I got play of the game. And at the end of the game, it's some Torbjorn laying there asleep with his turret going. We don't have any control over that. So don't give people shit for that.
No, I think the solution to this is obvious. Just play as badly as you can to make sure you don't get the play of the game, and then the problem goes away.
Yeah, I'm sure those people will be way less toxic, will not jump on you at the end of the game at all. It'll all be fine after that. I just did the logic of it just made me scratch my head and fart. So annoying. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. I think it's going to do it for us. Let's get the hell out of here. We should probably go around the table. I mean, we had this really awesome sort of political discussion before the show. Patrick, you have a show called The Phileas Club that does this on the regular, and people should probably check that out if that's the sort of thing they're into. Do you want to talk about that and anything else you have going on?
Sure. Yeah, the Phileas Club, of course. We actually tried to cover the Brexit thing in two episodes, one with the pro-stay, remain, and one with the pro-leave. And we sort of tried to understand what, why, how, which it was very weird for all of us outside of the UK to try and understand what was happening. And we're probably going to do one, I'm hoping the next one will be maybe next week, about the US election, because that also is kind of what the hell is happening there, and no one gets it. So
we don't know either. I'm very curious what experts you'll get for that, because I don't think any of us know what the hell is happening at the moment.
Well, it's not experts, it's just people who tell us what the people in that country think. So maybe the Americans won't be that interested, but other people might get the kick out of it.
Yeah.
And if you're into WoW, I actually just did a special in French. And if you speak French, that's an important part of it. My podcast, my gaming podcast, Le Rendez-vous Jeu. Yeah, exactly. We talk about stuff that you already know.
Le Dalaran. Right? I understood that.
Le Dalaran.
Yeah, that's good.
So Le Rendez-vous Jeu, it's at frenchspin.fr, and it's a WoW special. It's like 90 minutes, and we cover everything about Legion. So go check that out,
French speakers. Dills, what do you got going on this week?
Check out the YouTube channel. Just put up a new video. I'm going to do a little bit of a WoW series here on how to do the rotations and the specs for the, like, kind of like skip all the guides. Don't check them out. Here, I'll just show you. You don't have to, like, sit there and figure it out. So I'm going to do some of that. That should be fun. And then next weekend, not this coming weekend, but next weekend, we'll be in Florida for CreateCon. So I believe there are a couple of tickets remaining. Not many, but there are a few. I saw Brian Brushwood yesterday. He'll be out there. Jury will be there. Tom Merritt will be there. A lot of people will be there. I'll be there. Garrett, Jocelyn, Kyle.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah,
so,
very cool. Looking
forward
to hearing.
Interested in checking that out. And also the day after is Disney World Day. So,
oh, wow.
Is that a national holiday?
It is not a national holiday. However, it should be. Now you say that.
Disney World Day should exist.
Yeah.
Really.
I agree.
But it's going to be good times. I assume most people are going to do like Harry Potter Land stuff, but I think me and Jerry are just going to drink around the world in the Epcot Center. So
that's a great idea.
It's going to be something for everyone.
Yeah. He'll be so dirty with RNC and DNC filth that he'll need the drinking just to forget it all.
Him dressing up as a Charizard and interviewing delegates was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life.
It's a truly special thing.
Yeah.
And everyone should watch it. It was really incredible. And it says so much more about this election than I could have put into words. It's really, really good.
It was about as serious as anything else going on there,
yep,
to be quite honest.
Yep. That's the sad part. And also amazing.
When Ivanka Trump is a speaker, then things are weird. Things have taken a turn.
They're taking a weird turn. All right. We're speaking of weird turns, Terpster, do you have any weird turns to tell anyone about?
No, just being weird, really. Just normal.
Hypothetical Help. Catch it on Wednesdays.
Oh, yeah, check it out. Hypo Help. It's patreon.com/hypohelp is where you can go to obviously download the – you can't download it there, but you can
– all the links are there. Yeah, you can get to it all there. It's fine.
Or you can go to Scott's website
and
check it out there.
You know, hypotheticalhelp.com, that one.
That's the one.
Yep.
That's where it's at.
Yep. We do that.
Good episodes.
We do that every week. Really good stuff. Everyone should check those out. All right. I think that's it. Keep your eye on the internet for a rally point. Follow us all on Twitter. Willie Dills for Dills. E_T for Terpster. Not Patrick for Patrick. The show is at Instant Show. I'm at Scott Johnson. More shows like this. Frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, for Terpster, and for Dills. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Go with honor.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.